You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to episode 182 of Fourth and John. I am Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn. And today we're speaking on the lay of the land across social media platforms. Well, while you might think we're about to talk about Carson Wentz, there are other conversations that are being had across the timelines. And obviously it's draft season. We're here trying to make sense of things, trying to figure out, is Carson going? What the hell is Howie doing? What does this Eagles team look like in 2021? But one question that still remains, besides the Wentz talk, is who do the Eagles draft at number six? And there's a lot of options, guys. There's a lot of options. There is the draft a wide receiver crowd. There is potentially draft a quarterback crowd. And then there's this faction of Eagles fans across social media, which seems to be growing by the week, by the month. And it's for a Philly native by the name of Kyle Pitts.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Kyle Pitts at number six. It's a conversation that needs to be had. What we like to do on this podcast from time to time is look at the timeline, figuring out what the fan base is talking about, and have an open discussion. You know, Evan, it's not the – before we get into him, but it's not the sexiest idea to some. But does saying Kyle Pitts at six do something for you?
I'm not going to lie. It makes the thought of having Kyle Pitts involved in this offense makes it wiggle a little bit. I'm thinking about all of the holes that we are going into this season with. It's no question. It's something we've talked about time and time again, is that this, we're not one player away with this team right now. And Kyle Pitts is a guy who seems to be an absolute mismatch nightmare for teams. This dude, he's 6'6", 246. He's built like a brick shithouse, Gale. He's got the Philadelphia connection, so he knows the lay of the land here in Philadelphia. And he is exactly what the type of like prototypical player you would want down in the red zone. Do I think he can make the Eagles offense better day one? Yeah, I do. Do I think that Kyle Pitts and Dallas Goedert moving forward without Zach Ertz involved in the offense, do I think that could work? Absolutely. But the real question I stand at is, are we putting all of our chips into the center of the table when we take Kyle Pitts at six? Is he good enough to take that risk to, when we have so many holes to fill, to go after a tight end at the sixth overall pick? I don't know. And that's the conversation that we need to have today, Gale, because it's been heating up on the timeline. It certainly has.
You know, like some people will say, you know, well, Gail, how do you feel about Kyle Pitts at number six? And then I'm like, did Jamar Chase die? because if I'm gonna think about adding a weapon, a guy who's been a dynamic threat and murdered the SEC, you know, I think of, you know, Jamar Chase and what he brings to the table. Some people are on the Devonta Smith train, a little bit of an older prospect, probably be 23 by midseason. And then you look at a younger Chase and you're like, those are two dynamic players that you ask yourself, when was the last time the Eagles had a 1,000-yard wide receiver? And you start thinking about those guys. And then for another guy who's dominated in the SEC, a guy like Kyle Pitts, his game is, he's got freaky traits. You know, when the ball is up in the air, 50-50 specialist, hybrid wide receiver, tight end, kind of fits the new mold of what, you know, offenses are looking for in their tight ends. You talk about Nick Sirianni, what he likes to do with his offense. Mm-hmm. Talked about it in some of his pressers about matchups. This guy is a matchup nightmare. When you say matchup nightmare, he's probably the definition of that guy. Like that whole hybrid thing where you can, I mean, even if you even go back to the Super Bowl and watching the stuff that they would do with Zach Ertz, and they would split him out wide and, you know, put defenses in fits. And you have Dallas Goedert on the other end, and you know, like, pick your poison. Right. And that's something, a guy who can get you yak, he can get you the jump ball, he can get you
he's got soft hands, man.
Make the catches. You're talking about a finalist for the Biletnikoff. He's at a tight end. So he's the whole hybrid role is interesting. I just feel like if you can get Kyle Pitts and potentially trade back, people, this is where I stand. Not stand, but I stand. Like, I stand for that
trade back scenario.
And I get me another piece, and I get a Kyle Pitts, and his offensive coordinator is now our QB coach. So
isn't it interesting how that works out?
Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking about potentially the whole idea of building around a quarterback and Jalen Hurts, if that's the guy.
Doesn't look like it's going to be number 11, Mr. Saunders.
But if, I mean, this leads to another conversation of QB at six, or just like that area of the draft. If a quarterback slips, that is a potential trade up area. And if you can stay in the top 10 and still come away with the Kyle Pitts, let's talk, guys. But like at six, you know, I just feel like there's other, I don't believe Howie Roseman is good enough to be passing on alphas when they're staring you in the face. But if that alpha that I talked about, Chase, is gone, and you feel like you want to get value and you could potentially get a Surtain or another cornerback and Farley or and move down or a J.C. Horn a little bit later, like if they feel like you're getting a starting number two, you know, corner, that could be a thing. But again, the whole conversation today is about Kyle Pitts.
So you brought up the term alpha, and I think that is pretty much a perfect way to describe Kyle Pitts. Let me just take you for the listeners that don't know everything about Kyle Pitts. Let's just break him down a little bit. This past season, he ended the year with 43 receptions, 770 yards, and 12 touchdowns. The first game of the year versus Ole Miss, how about 8 catches for 170 and 4 tutties? 4 touchdowns, Gale. That doesn't happen every game. Need to be an elite type of player to pull something like that off. It's kind of filthy. He also, later in the year versus Kentucky, had a 3-touchdown game with another 99 yards receiving. So he is clearly a guy that can pop off in a game. He can completely take the game into his own hands. But the fact remains is what you said. We don't know if we're going to be moving forward here with Jalen Hurts, right? So I'm not sure if the front office is completely convinced that he's the guy. It certainly seems at this point where we stand right now, February 17th, that Carson Wentz isn't going to be our guy moving forward. So we're going to have to choose between either A, Jalen Hurts, or B, drafting a guy this year. So if we're leaning towards drafting a guy this year, this is throwing a monkey wrench in the whole
offensive alpha conversation as far as going out and getting an explosive receiver.
You know, like, I just look at what Pitts brings to the table, and he has dominant traits. Like, yeah. He's got, you're talking about rebuilding, an offensive attack to make it scary again. Like Zach Ertz, he's never been Yak Ertz. But in terms of like dominant at the catch point, make you think twice when Kyle Pitts is wherever he's on the field down by the goal line, you're like, okay. And then you have Dallas Goedert on the other side, just like chilling, like, hey, I'm still here, guys.
Right.
For a quarterback, a tight end is usually their best friend. And I feel like Kyle Pitts gives this offense a crazy advantage in the seams. He can get downfield. I'm not going to say he's super speedy. I mean, he's super speedy and athletic for a tight end.
Right.
But I mean, again, at the end of the day, like he's bodying out like top cornerbacks that are going in this draft. He's effective.
He's an absolute red zone nightmare. And that's exactly what this Eagles team could use. And just the thought of having him down there in the red zone. Like, I totally think that Kyle Pitts, based off of his skill set and based off of the stats that he was able to produce in college, I think he's totally a guy that could draw a double team down in red zone situations. So, like, if you just think about having that on the field, that's just opening up the field for everybody else. You got to think about like all of our other offensive weapons. If Kyle Pitts is getting double teamed, then maybe Jalen Reagor is wide open. Any one of our other wide receivers. It's all of the focus goes on you towards the alphas in the offense when you're down there about the score. So I think he could totally open the offense up.
And you think about that Florida offense, you just mentioned Jalen Reagor, but he had a player who had some, you know, similar dynamic traits as like just jack of all trades in college, Kadarius Toney. Mm-hmm. And the way that they were like eating defenses alive, just like it's kind of pick your poison guy who's killing you in the seams, killing you on the red zone. Then you have Kadarius Toney who's can take screens to the house, take runs out of the backfield. Like they just had a lot of trickery going on. And I feel like that's what having a mismatch is and how important that is. It is an important thing. I mean, 12 personnel is a thing with Sirianni. I'm thinking it's something that with the Colts, they were effective with it. But I think as much as they like to speak on the mismatches, like that is who Kyle Pitts is. And now for you people on the timeline who are calling Kyle Pitts a unicorn and like he's like, I mean, is he Calvin Johnson?
Pump the brakes there, guy.
I feel like
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big man.
Calvin Johnson was that's a Hall of Fame kind of dude, but I think he does have traits to be drafted in the top 10. If you're looking at a guy like Hockenson who went in the top 10, but you're looking at Vernon, you're looking at guys like Vernon Davis that were drafted high.
Yeah.
But I could go back and look at guys like everyone's like, oh, well, who could his game be like? And people will instantly say like, oh, he could be a Darren Waller. But where was Darren Waller drafted? You know what? I believe like the sixth round by the Ravens, day three. You look at guys like Kittle, drafted late. Travis Kelce, drafted third round. Like Gronkowski. Drafted second round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole idea of is it, I mean, and this is where I come to terms with like the whole idea of it is not to reach for talent when you know they could potentially be had a little bit later. I don't think he's going to be, him falling out of the top 10 would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing him on other teams, I'm like, I'd hate to have to see him on some other teams. But
I completely agree. And I look at the Dallas Cowboys sitting there at number 10, and that is exactly why I say that, I don't think the Eagles can. If we're eyeing up Kyle Pitts and we want to move back in order to get him, I don't think we can go beyond 9 at that point. You don't want to give the Dallas Cowboys another opportunity yeah. to take the guy that we're eyeing up. And you brought it up prior to the show just about how explosive their offense could be. I know that they have a shitty offensive line. They need to work on it there. But just their wide receivers paired together with Kyle Pitts, they could be highly, highly explosive in the coming year. So that's one thing that's one team I don't want to see him fall to. But like, I'm curious, just what do you think is the expected kind of return that you would get, say, if we were to move from like a 6 to a 9 to move back and get Pitts? What do you think, like a second round pick?
I'm thinking second reasonable? Round pick and some change, and or maybe a pick from, 2022, and maybe again, like if we're playing the role of trying to get some players, you can move down and acquire some players too that fit and that are cost effective. Mm-hmm. That's something that they could look into. But again, I just feel like to be transparent, I don't have any faith in Howie Roseman. I do think it's hard to miss on a player this high. Like, I feel like the guys up here are going to be contributors and you're going to get a guy. So I feel good about that part. But as we go deeper into the draft, do I trust him? Like, his track record is awful, man. Like, and it's absurd that we're still sitting here with Howie Roseman with the final say.
Yeah, it is really disgusting. And he's looking at us right now.
I'm a stud. I'm ballsy. I don't take no shit from anyone.
I mean, does he really even have the facilities for that, big man?
I don't think he does. Yeah, it's definitely, and I agree with you. I think that in this, like when you're in the top 6, when you're in the top 10, like we are, it's really like can't miss territory. I don't think, like, if he has his head screwed on correctly that day, there should be a player that falls to him that the answer is obvious, whether it be Ja'Marr Chase, whether it be Kyle Pitts, whether it be Devontae Smith or anybody that we've been talking about. But like, once you get into those later rounds, yeah, I completely agree, Gail. It gets a little bit like you're walking on some cracked ice. I don't trust Howie Roseman and his assessment of these players.
I mean, and then if they did draft Pitts or a Devontae Smith or a Ja'Marr Chase, finally a guy in the SEC who's been pretty, you know, guys that are dominating in one of the best conferences in college. I mean, that makes you feel a little bit better. But mm-hmm. I think it's just an opportunity for this team to get better. Like, again, I have no hate about Kyle Pitts' game. I think he brings some heat. And I think just where you draft him, I would like to get him a little later, if that's possible, and still pick up some change. And if you any way you can get a second rounder and some change for cheaper talent, there's a lot of talent in the second round. So that's where the Eagles need to flourish and get cheaper talent.
Do you think that there's any, like, we have predominantly been talking about offensive players being taken in the first round? Do you think there's any way that they shock us and go on the defensive side of the ball?
That would be interesting. Like, I mean, you're talking about like an offense that struggled.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about it was when that was, it wasn't even basic bitch. It was struggling. With my Joe Namath voice, struggling.
It was some Winnie Hutt Jr. shit.
Struggling offense. You'd have to see Jeffrey Lurie looking at this like, yeah, this is an offensive league. How can we struggle this bad? They've been on the struggle bus all season long, and I feel like offensive minded would be my guess. Obviously, there are CB1 stands out there to mirror Darius Slay, which I don't, that's still nice too. I mean, you know, how effective would be a CB2 across from Darius Slay? But again, that is another another podcast and another conversation that we will be having. Hopefully you guys are not killing yourself over this Wentz news. I know it's tough. It's really, you know, it's driving us all nuts. I know we got to hold on just a little bit longer.
Can they just rip off the Band-Aid already, Gail? Like, Christ, right? Like, we had the big wigs, the Adam Schefters of the world, tell us that this was imminent right after the Super Bowl. They, like, all that conversation was going on leading up to Super Bowl Sunday, and then we were hearing that, oh, this is going to be going down either Monday or Tuesday. Here we are in the following week, and we're still just waiting for this news to drop. Yeah, dude, I think that just goes to show the amount of speculation that's actually out there. I mean, the timeline, Twitter, there's so many sources that are out there. But I mean, even some of the guys that we go to and trust the most, they don't have all the answers all the time either, man. It's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, man. I'll say it again. It is what it is. I mean, you have to like really figure out who's saying what and to decipher and make sense of it all. But what we hope and who we hope makes sense of it all is Howie Roseman on draft day. Howie, do not mess it up. And for me and Evan, we will see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.